The gym is not a place to control your body fat. What? And some people, they need an asshole in their life telling them straight up, you're fucking fat.
T, what's your take on the testosterone replacement therapy? Are you for it, against it? When should we do it?
Are you considering? You've been eating meat all your life. You cannot go vegan from day to day because this is your new value set. You know? If you have anything that is giving you pain, it is something you should most absolutely address at the gym.
Like, imagine what I'm going to say in 50 or 60. I can't accept this.
Mother Nature never planned for us to live this long. And that's why we need the boost. I believe performance-enhancing drugs should be allowed in all professional sports. Because sports are a spectacle. Period.
Today, my guest is Mihao, an intrepid adventurer and entrepreneur. Born and raised in Warsaw, he had a crazy passion for sports, or extreme sports, I'd say, and he turned this passion into a very successful catering business, KickFit. Today, he's going to tell us all about this story, and I can't wait for you to enjoy this episode. Mihao, how are you?
Good,
welcome,
sir.
To the show. Thank you for joining us today. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you for having me. I hope to
deliver the...
deliver. I hope to deliver.
You delivered my food already today, the KickFit.
That's why you're so sharp and agile today.
Exactly. So if someone click on this podcast today, mm-hmm. and we have to convince them to stay and listen to us, why should they stay?
They should stay because you're going to do a great job editing the reels, making the abstract. It's going to be the bait.
Okay.
But I hope to inspire your followers, your...
The audience.
Our audience, on why they should take care of their health and why it's fundamental to their well-being. Maybe our discussion will illustrate how I was successful convincing you to take better care of yourself, and I believe it's delivered. You delivered. Damn.
Beautiful. All right, so as a former athlete and a successful entrepreneur right now.
Thank you.
How did the competitiveness of sport influence your approach to business?
Sports and business are measurable. There's always a score. Somebody's keeping it. The referee, or you yourself deep in your heart. So I believe it's fair to say that this competitive behavior is characteristic to my approach with which I look at things. And I try to measure my athletic performance with many indexes. And at KickFit, my business, I also look at different performance indexes. Of course, the bottom line, your profit is the most important one. But you can measure your customer satisfaction in different areas. And that's something I believe we've been successful doing. Looking at different areas in which our service, again, delivers, because it's more than just food at your doorstep in the morning. It's the overall satisfaction with the KickFit experience.
So what actually inspired you to start KickFit? When did you start the company? It's back in the days, because I remember the restaurant first. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is 2014. Okay. And it's been absolutely accidental. It's never been planned for. The catering service is a spin-off mm-hmm. from the restaurant business. And the restaurant business failed, actually. So our catering service has grown from a failed business idea. Our common friend, Stanisław Bonton, has inspired me to dive into the food industry. That's actually how it all came to be.
So why do you think the restaurant failed? And what are the lessons you learned? Because, you know, we say failure is the best teacher in life. So why do you think that business failed? And what did you learn from that failure?
Objectively, it failed. It's no longer here. It didn't last. It was not profitable. It was a learning ground for everything that I had to experience to set up the catering service. If it wasn't for the restaurants, none of the things that took place would allow for KickFit Catering today.
Okay, so what inspired you to do this spin-off, to do this switch?
The spin-off was absolutely organic, if I may. Our clients who called daily for their lunch service, they were very frequent, daily. They were daily customers. And at some point, we could not deliver to them on time due to high traffic. And I requested that they consider us delivering their food in the evening for the upcoming day, so that they don't have to rush the next day with ordering the food. They don't have to be concerned about us being late, And most of them bought into that idea. So we started delivering their lunches, not at the lunch hour, but the day before in the evening. And that's really how it all came about. Just sending cold, because it was cold, food to our clients to reheat on the following day.
You once said, I don't imagine an Italian guy sitting, eating from a box. And that hit me so hard, man. I was like, damn, Moroccans too. Everything about our culture is about food and sharing a meal. So the aspect of sitting there and eating your food alone is kind of depressing, you know, for a Moroccan guy, from a Moroccan perspective. So I was looking like, okay, what can I do? You know, I'm in the restaurant and I start my work, you know, after the gym, which is around 1 p.m. or maybe 2 p.m. So first, you know. Yeah, well, it's not very traditional.
Leisure class hours.
No, man. But I do finish around midnight, so
okay,
because that's when I'm most productive. So the morning, I, you know, I read, I go to the gym, and then at 1 p.m. I'm ready to rock and roll. And so I needed to find, you know, something that fits. And I remember I hired this girl, and I tell her, look, you have to, you know, to prepare this for me, this, and she would bring the food every day. But it was just like so daunting, man. It's just like the logistic was just too much. Sometimes she's late, and I'm late to eat my food. And that's when I start Googling and I start having these catering companies. I have to say it was horrendous at the beginning because it was not consistent. The food, it was like sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, until I got your company suggested to me. And since then, I never switched. So I think it's been, what, 5 or 6 years?
Yes, so, sir.
You're welcome, by the way. Where's my discount? So my question is this. These catering companies, they cut corners or cost in, because they are like kind of mass production and they don't care about the ingredients or the small details that goes into the food. So how do you do that while staying profitable? Why you think you have good food and it's working?
That is a build up to your question. And I can attack your question from many angles. Yes, here in Poland, the market for this kind of service is the biggest, maybe in all of the world. Because pre-cooked food delivery for reheating in United States fresh food delivered daily, such service does not exist. Not a big commercial business. There are companies, multiple, who deliver food twice a week in bulk, in dried ice. So it's preset for freezing, continuing the freezing, not refrigeration, but actually freezing. And it's not a variable menu that changes day to day. You actually can buy your chicken teriyaki in bulk, 10 units, drop it in your freezer. And like you recalled our conversation when I told you that in my belief, there is a cultural predisposition here in Poland for such service to flourish because we do not celebrate eating in the same way as many cultures do. We don't have siesta time. We don't have the ocean or the sea with the fresh fish, with the richness it delivers. We are this up-and-coming society, ever-growing middle class, non-present in the 80s. So we're all, you know, new to the capitalistic realm, to money. We all want to be fit. We all want to have a six-pack. We all want to have a... We all want to lease a BMW. And being fit and healthy is a high priority. Look how many gyms. Look how big is the fitness influencer
space.
Look how little people actually smoke and drink. Go to Lisbon. All the youth is hashish,
it's flying, yeah?
A little tobacco, okay. And not as concerned about their
health.
It's actually something more to the surface, not as deep in the looks at first. And the health is secondary for many, I believe. How I observe the people training at the gym, it's not for longevity. It's for the biceps, you know?
For the summer body.
For Mykonos. So the market is huge, and there will be premium services and mass market services. We are niched in the premium segments of the market, delivering values which other companies have no concern about, period. So I appreciate your warm words saying that we are the best catering service. For those who seek those values, we are. And our values are mostly around nutrition and quality.
What makes KickFit special today? Because I see millions of catering companies and...
And some cook better food than we do.
Okay, fair enough.
And I can...
I appreciate the honesty.
I can name a brand or two.
No
or
names.
Three.
They have to be sponsors. No names.
Okay. They make fine dining.
Okay. I think I know which one. I tried them.
You remove the food from the box, so you would add a silver fork and knife, and it's fine dining all of a sudden.
I do that with my plate so I can feel the Moroccan
experience. I know you like to experience your food with the celebration.
Yeah, exactly, with music in the background.
But our competitive advantage is that we can make your meals tailor-made, period.
This episode is sponsored by Meknes, a brand where Moroccan craftsmanship meets modern luxury. For our Warsaw Confidential listeners, you can enjoy 15% off your purchase by using the code Warsaw15 at checkout, meknes.com. Thank you for supporting our show, for listening, watching, and subscribing. I feel like a little bit overweight. Summer is coming. And I want to look fit as fuck for it.
Mm-hmm.
What would you advise me and tell me? What are the steps, like concrete steps? I know there's millions of advice, but I know you helped me because I was actually out of shape because I broke my ACL and I was depressed. I was just like,
against. Wow. There's no formula that fits all. So in my coaching, when I try to help somebody on how to fulfill his summer
dream,
I have to query, I have to make a little asking to see what's stopping us from being at the top. So, you know, some people you have to address gently, soothe them, pat them on their back. And some people, they need an asshole in their life telling them straight up, you're fucking fat. And they need to be reminded of it. Everything that is being very focused for a short period of time is not what's going to get you to the top. You cannot race to the location you want to arrive at. Because if there is a fast start, there's always a finish line. You don't want to cross the finish line ever. You want the race to continue. As you progress, your expectations of where you can, of the location keeps on, you know, commuting with you down the line. The better you get, the better you want to be. We have a saying in Polish, apetyt rośnie wraz z jedzeniem. You understand?
Your appetite
grows as you continue eating. So, of course, if there is 8 weeks separating us from the deadline, we're going to have a different strategy than if you were to come to me and say, hey, Michał, I need to take care of this body, and this is my lifetime agenda from now on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Implementing changes cannot be radical, because radical changes, they have an expiration date. So you want to be realistic about what it is that you can implement daily, consistently, and benefit from the yields, from the compound interest that arise from those little incremental changes. Changing your lifestyle from day to day, 180 degrees, is going to die one day, sooner or later. It's just impossible to sustain. So getting back to your question, do not be radical about the changes. Be true to yourself about what it is that you can sustain. Because if you are a person who's grown to enjoy animal products, you've been eating meat all your life, you cannot go vegan from day to day because this is your new value set. You know, it will burn out.
So you're saying there's no quick formula to a crazy body. Here's the thing. Here's my question.
There is a quick formula for somebody who's been there already.
I see.
They slipped.
And they want to
lost
get back.
Track. Mm. Different things are going to be different for them. The most important one is the fact that they've seen this road before. They've been on this road before. So they're only re-entering it. They're not making the path for the first time.
Okay, so I want to translate the philosophy of KickFit. And so let's say somebody cannot afford a catering monthly or, you know, in the long run, and they want to eat healthy. Which food should they try? Which can you tell them? Like, if you want to, like I said, again, I'm a person, I want to start taking care of my health, but I cannot afford a catering company. I need to cook home. I need to buy my stuff. And also in the other side, I need to work out. What can I do? Can you give me the plan? of someone who's want to change his life?
Okay. First thing is we need to distinguish two aspects of healthy eating. Because eating clean, valuable products, preferably organic, fair trade, you know,
the whole
shabam. Yeah. That's great. But you can still overeat on your grass-fed beef, your organic avocados and macadamia nuts, and just grow fat. So one thing is the sourcing of the food. And of course, it's best if it's best.
Yeah, of course.
But I oftentimes repeat that had I had the opportunity to customize my McDonald's sandwiches, I could fix my summer body at McDonald's.
Oh, wow.
Because managing energy sources, your caloric intake, your macronutrient balance, macronutrients, fats, carbs, proteins, is on a totally separate side of things. Period. So eating clean and eating wisely from an energy perspective are two different things. Eating all those fair trade, organic imports or locally grown articles is expensive.
We're trying to be on budget here.
So the advice for somebody who is going to be cooking themselves is, if it fits the budget, please reach out for the best quality products. But this itself will not fix your case.
Okay.
Because if you want to be lean, you have to manage where the energy arises from. Again, fats, carbs, proteins. So learning the mathematical aspect, and it's simple algebra, of managing energy balance is key to your summer body. If you don't understand the mathematical
aspect
of nutrition, you are wasting your energy on...
You're wasting your time. So tell us more about that. So I don't understand nothing about carbs, proteins, and what's the most simplified way that I can understand and I can apply it to my diet?
The most simple way to think about it is, let me offer such explanation. Proteins are to be considered not a source of energy, but a building block. Every cell of your body, hair, your retina, your fat, your muscles, your heart, your liver, your bones, need amino acids. Period. That's what they are made of. Those cells are fueled with fats and carbohydrates. Fats are essential. Period. Your body does not, your cells do not function without cholesterol, do not function without fats. Carbohydrates are not essential. You can live without carbohydrates. This small amount of carbohydrates that your brain actually needs, you can manufacture this glucose yourself from the other two macronutrients, protein and fats. So the key takeaway here is that you will always need protein, and you have to set your quota based on what you believe, again, because nutrition is much like religion. Some people believe it's 2 grams of protein per pound of body weight. Others think something else. I don't want to take a voice on what it is, but it's common that everybody understands protein is your building fundament. Carbs and fats, again, your preference, your taste preference on what kind of foods you like will determine whether you will be leaning towards fats or carbs. Which route you take is up to you, really. However, being conscious, having the ability to summarize your day. Okay, today I ate this and this much calories in total, and it consisted of this many proteins, this many carbs, blah, 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 is the kind of knowledge that one has to have in order to be able to manage their nutrition. Because if you don't know how much you've eaten, how can you manage it? You can't. If you have a track, let's say you've been tracking your energy for a week, you get some feedback after 7 days. Okay, I've eaten this and I've responded in such and such way. I have to adjust because I haven't responded in the way I've expected to. If it's all this
fluffiness,
this, yeah. It cannot be liquid. It has to be constant for you to be able to report, get feedback, and be able to judge whether this eating protocol is good for you or not.
Okay, let's move to the fitness aspect. A lot of people, they wish they can work out, but they don't have time.
Huh.
They're working all day, all night. Sometimes they go to the gym and they do this half-assed workout. You could see there is no, and they don't see the results. What's the fastest way or workout I can do to achieve maximum results? How much time did I spend at the gym? Now I'm assuming that my nutrition is on point. I'm cooking at home. I'm getting your food. What type of workout can I do daily or maybe 3 or 4 times a week that couldn't deliver concrete results?
The gym is not a place to control your body fat.
Whoa.
I know this is surprising. The place to control your body fat is the kitchen. 1 hour of your time at the gym is an expenditure of, on average, let's say 500 calories. And it's, you're not being lazy,
you know, like
within this hour. You're pushing it. You're pushing it. You can stuff your mouth with 500 calories with one spoonful of peanut butter. So your 1 hour investment can be absolutely demolished with your extracurricular
activity
beyond your KickFit set.
Milk.
Yeah. So the gym is the place where I would like it to be bodybuilding, giving impulses to your body to grow more muscle, to work with your contusions. If you have anything that is giving you pain, it is something you should most absolutely address at the gym.
Damn.
Because every aching knee, shoulder, whatever you're dealing with, needs a therapeutical kind of strength training, most likely. If your back hurts, it's very possible that it hurts because you don't have enough muscle around it and it's weak. So the gym is a place where we really want to spend our time wisely, because running on a treadmill like a hamster is not going to get you far in terms of your summer body. And I observe a lot of people wasting time at the gyms. Most of the people I see at the gyms, and I've been a frequent
gym goer
since ever, is that people waste their time at the gym. And I have lots of empathy because I see how they are strong-willed.
And they have, they want to achieve something. You could see they're trying.
And they're consistent. They show up every day. But the time investment in the specific activity they engage in is not appropriate. I always think that, by the way around, it's not only the hour at the gym. It's the 10 minutes you spent motivating yourself in the morning to go there, making a commitment with yourself, okay, I will go to the gym today. Then it's the time you spend driving there, the time in the changing room twice, going back home. So the time investment is really much greater than what you spend on your elliptical machine. Keep that in mind. Mm. So for all, young, old, male, female, bodybuilding, developing your strength, because your strength is the most fundamental assets that you really have. Your muscle mass is positively correlated with your longevity markers. You know, there's no obese centurions, people who are approaching 100 or past 100, and those who got to live past 100, their muscle mass as a percentage of total weight is very near to what it is for me, actually, or for somebody else who is fit. So wise, well-prescribed bodybuilding strength development is what I would advise for everyone who go to gym.
So what exercises can we do?
Compound lifts.
Compound lifts.
Compound lifts.
What does mean? Like chest press? Mm-hmm.
Compound lift is a deadlift, is a squat, is a multi-joint movement. This is a one-joint movement. Okay. At the elbow. And the biceps is responsible for that movement. A deadlift is a ankle, knee, and hip compound movement involving much more muscle groups. And then again, greater yield on your time investment.
Okay, so I know that you had a severe injury once.
At least.
Or many. The one I remember because it was on video.
Yeah.
Snowboard and you...
The snowboard crash I had, yeah.
Yeah. Because I am currently, I would say, injured as well. I have this problem with my muscles over here between the ribs. Mm-hmm. And I think because maybe I don't warm up, it's complicated. And it is very annoying for me that I cannot perform at the gym and a workout. I'm asking the question because I'm trying to connect it to. So when you got injured, how long did you take? For a year you didn't work out?
For 2 weeks.
What? Are you serious? You had the surgery, man.
There's some activities I didn't partake for a long time, but I got back to training right away.
So tell us about this exercise, because I remember like the helicopter came and picked you up, and what happened? What went down during that day?
I was in Canada at the very beginning of COVID.
Correct.
I fell on a snowboard. I was not my usual self. I was pushing it. I was gambling with my health. I was doing something at the time of the day when everybody was leaving for home. And there was I was a little bit unlucky. I broke my spine. I had two surgeries. And I'm here preaching to you why you should never leave the gym.
Yeah.
And how it's been the means with which I restored my health.
So how did that experience affected you as a person, as an athlete? Because I know like all athletes, they got depressed Let's talk about depression. They get depressed when they cannot perform as they used to be, and they cannot train, and they know they are limited. So how did you deal with that in that moment? What was going through your head, like the moment of the impact?
Well, for me, I'm not a professional athlete. So not being able to train does not endanger my financial well-being. However, of course, since it's my greatest passion, not being able to perform takes a toll on you mentally. What was the second part of the question? Sorry.
How did you deal with that? Like, what was going through your head during the impact? And how did you get out of it, basically?
The moment of impact, I knew I broke my back. So my first thought was, how bad is it? And do I feel my legs? Has my spinal cord, is it intact or have I damaged it too? And so I wiggled my big toe in the snowboard boot. I felt it moving, communicating with me. And it was a big relief, I must say, because
you were expecting the worst.
I didn't know what to expect. Here, I knew that this is not the case, that I'm not that injured. However, because I couldn't really stand up, I couldn't move without extreme pain, I knew the back is messed up, and I knew that it's going to be a long journey to health. And it was, but it was a building journey. And I would highlight to anyone who got hurt, that although it sounds very cliche and hard to gain that perspective at this moment, but seek the positive aspects of what your situation is. And your situation is that if you will be active about it, you will learn a lot about your body. And this will be of value to you forever. I've learned so much about, again, my body, about anatomy. And these are takeaways for life. And they're, how you say, transcendental? Help me.
Mm-hmm. I can't pronounce that word either. That was good even there.
Universal.
Universal.
I was lucky to have a gym that was open during the lockdown. Open for me, actually.
Are you allowed to say that?
I guess now.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. So as soon as I got my stitches out, I was at the gym and just being active about coming back to health.
So what was pushing you? Because I know like the average Joe would say, okay, I'm injured. I don't find the motivation. How did you find the motivation to go back? Why? Why did you say, okay, I need to go back as soon as possible?
More than 10 years prior to that accident, I had a car crash. And that was at the time when actually I competed as a snowboarder. So I had the experience of rehabilitation from the past, which was of value to me at this time because I knew that it's a process, that the process is painful, sweat, blood, and tears. But if you put the time investment, again, it will
deliver.
It will deliver. So I knew what kind of work had to be done, and I knew that I can be successful at this work. Somebody else would have had a more difficult time because so many uncertainties. And I was able to manage this uncertainty with this great belief it's going to all come to place sooner or later. I didn't have a time agenda. I wasn't limited by anything. In fact, I had all the time in the world. And with what I do professionally, it's also been helpful because not only the proper nutrition, which is essential if you are dealing with contusions, with any workload that relies heavily on your body, its ability to adapt, but also the different people and connections we have at KickFit, specialists in their field of expertise. Yeah. So I was able to collect from different people little inputs, and it all contributed to a fast recovery.
Okay, so did you have to take some extra things? Like,
I took extra everything.
So because I want to venture in that space, which is the supplements. I also want to talk about TRT, your take on that. Because we know, like, on the internet world, there's a lot of bullshit going on. You have to take that, you know, take this, that, you know, fat burner, this burner, this, you know. It's
especially in the fitness and the wellness realm.
It's
so confusing.
It's madness. And what are for you the most important supplements that one should take to enhance their fitness performances? Supplements that you live by or you cannot live without?
Good question. It's a supplement I actually don't take because I rely so heavily on meat, on red meat in my diet. But creatine is the most researched supplement there is. And the research highlights its effectiveness on strength development, period. So for somebody who is bodybuilding, girl, boy, I would recommend taking creatine.
What else? Creatine, we got it. And then proteins. What's your take on protein shakes? Because I know there's like a lot of two schools maybe. Some people, they say, no, you should only rely on meat, like natural proteins. Some, they say, no, you should supplement with this.
I believe it's crucial. Everyone knows their protein quota. How many grams of protein daily you should consume to achieve your goals, whatever their goal, those goals are. Sustaining where you're at currently, developing, and then how you meet this quota may require you drinking protein shakes. Doesn't have to. Depends on how high your protein intake is to be, depending if you had the time to eat all your meals that day. Because if you haven't had the time to eat all your meals, you might have to drink a protein shake to substitute for that one meal you skipped. And of course, the protein powder, whey, it's a milk byproduct, is a highly processed food. And we try to not limit those highly processed foods. And there's better protein powders and low quality ones. Ones that are pure, single ingredient, whey. Others that have tons of other ingredients for the flavor, for the shelf life of the product. There was a time where I consumed lots of protein powders. I cannot say that there were any side effects, undesired showings. So to respond to your question, I believe it is best if all your protein arrives from whole food products. But if you don't meet your protein quota, it's better you take the protein powder than you don't, and you have a gap between where you should be and what you should be consuming and what you're actually consuming.
All right, so now we have two. We have creatine, protein. What else? What else in terms of... Because I remember you recommended me this when we were trying to work on my diet and fitness. Oh, is it like fish oil that you recommended to me and a bunch of other stuff?
Fish oil is the fatty acids that are in the fish oil. Most experts agree on
their effectiveness.
It's not in any way controversial. Like you highlighted just a second ago, it's hard to make any sense of the noise out there about wellness, nutrition. Again, it's much like religion, what you believe in.
Yeah.
But the fish oil, the creatine, the whey powder, those are universally accepted. And that's why I feel comfortable
recommending
it to you.
Mm. Interesting. Okay, now let's talk about the little bit of the TRT. What's your take on the testosterone replacement therapy? Are you for it, against it? When should we do it?
Are you considering?
I don't know.
How old are you?
I'm 38.
You're 38, so we're peers.
Yeah, we have the same age.
Testosterone replacement therapy, the T.
Mm.
I always say it's a one-way ticket.
Ooh.
If your agenda is to take exogenous testosterone and then set it aside, you are putting upon yourself efekty uboczne, skutki uboczne, unwanted side effects.
Okay.
Because you are going to boost your endocrine system,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to let it drop. It's going to be a destabilization of your global system. There's no point to get this boost, achieve some whatever summer results. Body you want, and then depart.
Why is that? Because you will, like, the side effects are going to be...
You're going to experience side effects.
Mm.
What if getting that beach body is not your payday, is... You know, it's something you want, but you don't have to have.
No. It's not about the beach buddies. Because the people I know who've taken them, you know, they are in their 40s, 45. And it's...
If it's for your vitality.
Yeah.
If it's for your...
You know, to have the drive, this sexual drive, you know, like... Because some people, this is very known scientific, I think. The testosterone at some age starts to drop in a very significant way. And the way to combat that, to stay... sharp, is to do the TRT.
Do the TRT, yes, sir. You mentioned your sexual drive, your libido.
Yes.
For somebody who is unhealthy, their T levels are so low that their sex drive has been affected. It's a must-have. For somebody who is healthy, who's going to want to just get that extra edge, if TRT introduced properly, will have no effect on your sex drive. For a healthy person engaging in TRT, if your sex drive is affected, that means you're overdoing. You should not... The amount you take and the incremental change in your T levels should be so insignificant that your love life is not affected. Because it can be affected in both ways.
Okay.
Like it can rise, and then the other day it drops.
Yeah. So the TRT, I was like, okay, let's talk about it this way. I feel like in my 20s, because I started my first business around when I was like 23 or 24, and I had this insane drive and motivation to make things work, to start a new thing. Now, if you come to me and it's like, hey, Can you start a new business? Okay, this is basically a new venture. I didn't say a business. And I'm like, oh man, the business plan, this, that. I feel like I don't have that craziness anymore, the drive. I mean, I'm more into starting something that I am good at already, that I know, which is why I'm doing this podcast, because I know how it works. It's more of an enjoyable process for me. But I would never go back and start a new company and, you know, the business plan. I'm like, I'm done. But then at the same time, there's this voice saying, well,
get some TRT.
Because maybe you don't have, you know, your testosterone levels are dropping, maybe. And I do check myself and they're like normal levels. Nothing crazy. They are in the, I think they are in the
nine. Life is too short to be in the average.
But then again, you're like, well, I've lived my life, you know, as a, how you say them? How you call them? High achievers?
High achievers.
And I would like to stay like that, that way. So, because I'm sure you share the same aspect. When you're doing something and you get used to performing at some level, there is always this desire to perform even more at the highest level. It's like, for me personally, is FOMO, the fear of missing out. What am I not using that is not helping me to take things to the next level? Like even now with this podcast, you know, like when I, before I start, people telling me, ah, no, just do the iPhone, it's good, you know. And I look at them and I'm like, the fuck? That's not me. I'm on the cinematic, the sliding, you know. That's why this guy's there, is sliding, is, you know, because I love these things. Even though it means I'm going to have to edit and sit down like the whole day, the whole night editing. But the end result is beautiful, is there. And the proof that people are saying, well, this looks nice, it looks professional, and it's enjoyable. I'm doing it because I love it. But then again, there's that voice that's saying, what aren't you doing? And I'm not going to lie, I see these people on social media, unfortunately. They look 45, 48, 50, and they look jacked. And I know they are on TRT. But then I'm trying to control myself to not go there. How do I fight with this devil voice and the angel voice?
You don't fight it, you manage it.
Good answer.
You find your middle grounds. You want to look healthy and fit when you're undressed. You don't want to look jacked in your t-shirt, because that's just not...
it's not who we are.
That's not who we are.
Now you gotta wear the suit, man.
You gotta be able to look good in this without too many tailor adjustments.
Yeah.
I don't want you to think that you're missing out on something. But then again, I think you are missing out on something.
Why? Because you are on TRT?
I've been on TRT for a long time now.
Okay. How long?
8 years.
Wow. That young you started?
I was 31, yeah.
But why? Because to enhance your performance or?
To be able to put a greater toll on my body.
Mm-hmm.
To enjoy all the benefits. And I was lucky to have a good introduction to the TRT. Good relationships with people who inspired me on how to move in this realm. Not to experience any side effects. Never, ever.
I see, yeah. Well, you look good, man.
Thank you.
I don't see any hair falling.
No hair loss, and you can I would be concerned about losing my red locks. No acne.
No small balls. I can't confirm that, but...
No mood swings.
That's important, yeah.
I don't call my mother to cry out.
Mm.
You will experience not a boost of motivation.
Mm.
You will experience that you can sleep 7 hours and feel like you've slept 9.
Interesting.
You will enjoy different subjective experiences, body experiences, and those in consequence will make you fear, boost your motivation.
I see what you mean.
So it's because he will feel stronger, more resilient.
It's like more driven. Because you feel good, you sleep good, you're working out very good.
And that's a side effect, that you're just more, you're highly driven.
Look, I honestly, we are approaching slowly but surely.
Don't say this out loud. Don't say this out loud.
And it's just like my body hurts, man, everywhere. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why? I'm just 38, man. Like, imagine what I'm going to say in 50 or 60. I can't accept this.
Mother Nature never planned for us to live this long. That's why we need the boost.
So you are for TRT. You are advising guys who are listening to us now.
I advise to go for it. To people who I believe will be able to manage it.
So what do you mean
because
by
I
that?
Believe for many people, it will slip out of their control. Like they cannot manage alcohol, like they cannot manage other things in their life. This is something that is potentially very dangerous and needs to be considered as a potentially harmful substance.
Interesting.
Because if you're experiencing
like
the benefits that you reached for, you might be mistaken to want to take more than you had been taking.
Mm-hmm. Like get greedy.
You get greedy.
It's like Lord of the Rings. You get too powerful and you want to push it even further.
And actually, I believe that testosterone or just the different, let's call it straight up, anabolic steroids are a very commonly abused group of substances. So somebody who has an addictive nature,
I see,
possibly will be abusing TRT, period. TRT, by its definition, is a therapeutical dose.
Like and microdosing.
Something like that, yeah? And there's no specific cap because it's different for different people. You will respond differently to the same amount. I will. Mm. But more than a certain amount will be commonly considered doping and not TRT. Mm. So you want to be in that gentleman's area where it's therapy and not doping.
So what about the stigma around TRT? Some people are like, oh, no, this is fake. This guy is cheating. This guy is that. And because now you ask me if I'm thinking, you know, I'm seriously considering it. But at the same time, because I have a following, you know, who some people look up to me.
But your following is not judging you upon your fitness.
Mm. True that.
They're judging you upon other fruits of your work. You're not an athlete. You're not Lance Armstrong, who's being punished until today for his...
Yeah, true, that's what I mean.
You know, it's a matter of philosophy. I believe athletes shouldn't be allowed to use performance enhancing drugs because athletes are delivering entertainment to us spectators.
Yeah.
The spectacle is going to be better if they are allowed to use PEDs. They are using PEDs anyways. Mm. There's a huge business aimed to allow athletes to be clean during the day when they need to piss clean. It makes them less healthy than more healthy to take PEDs at certain time, drop it, clean out for the competition day. Actually, one of the founders of Napster, I can't recall his name.
Okay.
He is offering, he's selling this new sports happening. It's called the Enhanced Games.
Wow.
During the Olympics in Paris, they are going to make a competition that allows...
Ah, I wrote that. Like, enhanced. I see.
All it's the athletes are free to dope. They are claiming they have a athlete, his name is unknown, who will beat the world record 100 meters
race.
I believe this is going to be a more interesting show. Athletes who will be able to take performance-enhancing drugs will have a longer career. Period. So for UFC fighters, they reach their peak mid-30s. Yeah. They all could fight longer if they were able to take different substances that they're not. They could potentially go into their 40s as professional athletes. So, yes, I am...
Advocate of TRT.
I believe performance-enhancing drugs should be allowed in all professional sports because sports are a spectacle, period. They are to deliver entertainment. The show would be better if they're all on high tees. However, I communicate about the different dangers that arrive potentially from misuse.
Hmm. So if when you say it's like a one-way ticket, like if you start TRT, it means you can never stop?
It's not that you cannot.
Hmm.
You will not want to, and it, I believe, will be better for your longevity if you don't stop and you responsibly continue to use, you continue to regularly monitor your blood and implement it as your routine.
But it's quite the investment, isn't it? If you are going to do it for the long term.
The substance itself is not an investment at all.
Mm.
The tea. The tea is a drug in the public domain. There's really no intellectual property in possession of any pharmaceutical company. It's cheap to produce.
Okay.
So it's cheap, period. Your doctors or whoever is, you know, monitoring you.
Hopefully you.
I'm not equipped. No. I'm not equipped. I'm not equipped. But whoever's taking care of you, all the blood work, yeah, that is some cost. But then again, you're hoping that this is the grounds on which you will be more productive.
Absolutely.
And it's much cheaper than a good party time in Warszawa.
True. We should cut up on the... Well, that's been an interesting conversation. Miao, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For coming here. Any parting words, any advice to our listeners?
I advise everybody to monitor the Warsaw Confidential podcast.
That they do.
Because we are expecting it to
absolutely
gain popularity. And I'm very thankful for allowing me to be one of the first guests on the show.
And hopefully we can have you more, you know, as a regular guest. Huh?
I will work on my English, make it more agile.
We can do it in Polish next time.
With your friend?
No, with me.
Tak? No, ja nie wiem, czy twój polski jest gotowy.
No tak, a ja rozumiem prawie wszystko, ale...
Rozumieć to rozumieć, ale jeszcze musisz przeprowadzić wywiad.
Tak, tak, ale będzie.
Super, thank you, sir.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Warsaw Confidential podcast. If you've enjoyed our journey together and wish to support us further, please consider subscribing to our podcast and leaving us a review. Your feedback not only motivates us, but also helps in growing our community. As a token of our appreciation, we've partnered with Meknes, a brand where Moroccan craftsmanship meets modern luxury. Exclusively for Warsaw Confidential listeners, Meknes is offering a 15% discount on their exquisite collection of leather goods. To claim your piece of luxury, visit meknes.com and use the code WARSAW15 at checkout. Thank you once again for supporting both the Warsaw Confidential podcast and Meknes.